Continuing in Mitzvah Shin Chav Gimel 323, it was officially called the Mitzvah not to do Malacha on Shemini Atzeres, but the Sefer Chinuch goes into a few extraneous discussions, the first being the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres issue, and then the laws of Chol HaMoed, which again, according to the Sefer Chinuch, the nature of the laws of Chol HaMoed is that they are prohibited midyaraisa, that anything that the Torah says, it is usher to do malacha on Chol HaMoed. However, the Torah itself, you know, when God told Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed, so he didn't say what types of malachas you were allowed to do or what you were not allowed to do, but rather he just said, look, I want these days to be holy. I want them to be special, and I don't want you to do your regular daily activities on them, but I'm going to leave it up to the sages to determine the correct parameters of which malachas are permissible and which are going to remain forbidden. So the Sefer Chinuch gave a few examples. And the basic idea is, again, there are a lot of details, but the basic idea is that you don't want to have tircha. You don't want to do something that causes you a lot of effort and exertion on Chol HaMoed, but things that are necessary, things that are very easy to do, and don't require any tircha at all, are generally permissible. That's like we mentioned last time, that I mentioned it, and I said it was a chumrah, but I didn't really explain why, which is that the Chazon Ish, when he went out on Chol HaMoed from his house, used to check his pockets to make sure he wasn't carrying anything that wasn't necessary for Chol HaMoed. So the reason being that he held that no, if there's absolutely no necessity whatsoever to perform this malacha on Chol HaMoed, then it's not even permissible on Chol HaMoed, but according to most poskim, it's technically speaking a chumrah, because the carrying, just having something on your pocket on Chol HaMoed, yes, technically it's a malacha as far as Shabbos and Yantif are concerned, but it requires zero effort, exertion, thought. You know, it does not affect your perception or your ability to appreciate the Chol HaMoed at all, so therefore it would be permissible. But again, there have been poskim throughout the generations, including the Chazon Ish most famously and recently, who were machmir on this, and they didn't want to do anything on Chol HaMoed that was not strictly speaking necessary for Chol HaMoed. And again, also if there's something called Davar HaAved, that if you're there's something that you're going to lose a lot of money if you don't do it. Not that you lose an opportunity for profit, but it's really going to hurt your current financial state, then you're allowed to do it. And if something has to be done on Chol HaMoed, otherwise you're going to lose out. Therefore, you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed again, but there are a lot of details regarding this, and you can't, you know, just go paskening based on the summary I said. Yeah.
A question. You talked about Chazal, you know, discussing, you know, writing tefillin.
Yeah.
On Chol HaMoed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that wouldn't do you any good though if you couldn't solve the bottom.
You can. No, but that's a tzorich mitzvah that's necessary for Chol HaMoed.
Okay,
so you solve the bottom.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So in other words, so if you had to soap a talus or something, it's a tzorich mitzvah or something like that. You could do that.
Sew up a talus would be subject to the normal rule. In other words, tefillin has to be sewn in a certain way.
Yeah,
if you don't do it in a certain way, so then it's no good. But a talus, you would be subject to the normal rule that you have to sew in an abnormal manner. Mm-hmm. And that also knocks it down. You know, it's not like you're allowed to do anything you want in an abnormal manner, but there are certain things in Chol HaMoed that if you do it b'shinui in an abnormal manner, so that sort of takes away its status as a real meleches tircha or meleches uman, that a professional, like a real professional type of melecha. And there are certain times where it's recommended or required that you should do a shinui if possible in order to get a workable result.
Wait a second. Now. If you know, sewing up batim is considered sewing, but it's mutter, you know, for then
because you have no choice. That's how you make tefillin.
Okay. Are you allowed to replace a shoelace on Shabbos? Let's say.
Replace the shoelace on
Shabbos?
Because
that's also taking
putting it. It's not sewing the leather. Yeah, the problem is the problem on Shabbos is not that. The problem on Shabbos is makib apatish, that if there's a kli that needs a finishing, so then you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Therefore, you're not allowed to take a shoe and put in a new shoelace on Shabbos. But you are allowed to, if the shoelace is in and it just, you know, came out of a couple of the holes, then you are allowed to put that in. Mm-hmm. Shabbos.
If your shoelace broke on Shabbos, can you take another shoelace?
Well, you can adjust the shoelace.
You can't tie it, though. obviously. So
right,
you can't tie the two broken parts of the shoelace together.
Right.
You know. No, can you just take?
All right.
Fine. Okay. So zog dehayli yosef rechinoch the asru lechol adam shelo yechavein melachto b'moed, that you're not allowed to plan to do your work on chol amoed. Kolomer sheaniach melachto ladas. People think, I have all these projects I've been saving up, and you know I'm off from work that week. Not everybody's off from work the whole week, okay? But again, that would be the heter of Davar Avi, that if you're going to get fired from your job, then you're allowed to go to work on Chol HaMoed. But if you're not going to get fired from your job, so you're not allowed to go to work on Chol HaMoed. Okay, fine. So you say, I'm off work, you know, my kids are going to be at Hershey Park, and, you know, I'm going to be at home alone, so I have all these projects I've been wanting to work on, and, you know, I could have done it before, but I want to do it on Chol HaMoed because I have the time. So it says, Kilomar, Kilo Laso B'Malacha Hukbu Yemei Chol HaMoed Kim Lismoach Lifnei Hashem. That goes against the point of Chol HaMoed. The point of Chol HaMoed is to focus on our relationship with God and not to do all this labor. So even if it's technically something that if it happened to come up on Chol HaMoed, you'd be allowed to do it, but if you plan to do it specifically on Chol HaMoed, then that is forbidden. That part of the point of Chol HaMoed, the main point, is you're supposed to learn the halachas. That the point is that you're supposed to go to the Beis Medrash all day after, you know, or at least, you know, after Hershey Park. So you come home and you go to the Beis Medrash for a couple hours. So you're supposed to go to the Beis Medrash and you're supposed to go to Shiurim. Hilchos Pesach v'Pesach v'Hilchos Atzeres ba'Atzeres. So you're supposed to learn the laws of each holiday at the proper time. Of course, the original Lashon is Hilchos Chag b'Chag, because that makes the most sense to a certain extent, that you learn the halachos of Yeshiva Sukkah and Arba Minim on Sukkis. So you still have time to correct yourself, you know, if you're doing it wrong, so then you could, you learn the halachos. And plus, that's the proper time. People are in the mindset. On the holiday itself, people are in Pesach mode or in Sukkot mode. So they're more open to hearing the halachos of each individual holiday. And, you know, after Sukkot, you know, you want to start a series of shiurim on Lulav. So you're like, I just did that. No, I'm not in the mood to hear shiur on Lulav right now. But on Sukkot, so that's when you're supposed to talk about the holiday. So it's interesting that includes the halachos of Shavuos. Hilchos Atzeres Ba'Atzeres. You're supposed to learn the halachos of Shavuos on Shavuos. Yeah, exactly. So what are the halachos of Shavuos?
Same as any other.
I mean, if you're a Kohen, so you can learn the laws of Shtei Alechem, I guess. But, you know, nowadays, what are the halachos of Shavuos?
You stay up on every day.
Yeah.
Stay up on every learning what to do in the morning.
What to do in the morning. Oh, cute. But that's not the halach of the holiday per se. But you have to, it's important that, right, if you stay up all night, so you have to know which brachas you're allowed to say if you haven't slept, and when you have to wash your hands, and all these things. And when's the earliest time to daven, and that's true. But that's not particularly halach of Shavuos. So I think I probably learn Hilchos Shavuos in its entirety every Shavuos. So I'm used to this Mahadran. It's three paragraphs in the Shulchan Aruch. Halachos of Shavuos.
The laning is like that.
What the laning is, yeah.
The laning is this. The Torah is this.
Right, exactly. That's basically what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It does talk a little bit about the Milchiks business, but okay, the halachos of Shavuos, waiting, you know, this again, it's an ancillary thing, but waiting between Milchiks and Fleishiks, we talked about when you're on Shavuos. There aren't so many halachos of Shavuos proper, so it's interesting that it's included here. But Hilchos Chag B'Chag and Hilchos Pesach V'Pesach, so a lot of the halachos of Pesach, so it's too late by the time you get the chance to learn it. So the halachos of the Seder, you know, that's the first thing you're supposed to do in Pesach before you have a chance to learn the halachos, so, you know, you blew it. I mean, during the first day, you could learn for the second night, okay, but in Eretz Israel, you don't have a second day, so that doesn't really help you. And then in terms of cleaning your house and avoiding chometz, so you're supposed to have done that already also, if you didn't kosher your house properly, so... Sometimes it's not too late. Sometimes you could still fix it, but sometimes it is too late, depending on the exact type of kashering involved. So, okay, but there are... Okay, you learned the... Since you're more in the mindset, so even if you learn it for next year, you're absorbing it more because you're involved in that holiday at that time. So if you specifically held off in doing your labor until Chol HaMoed and you did it, Bezdin me'abdin osa mafkirin osa lakol. The rabbinical court assesses your what you've done, and they put up post-up signs throughout town saying, you know, so-and-so's vineyard, you know, was ready to be harvested a week ago, but he decided, no, nah, okay, I'll let the grapes get a little riper, and, you know, I'll do it on Chol HaMoed, which you are allowed to do on Chol HaMoed if it's the time that your vineyard needs to be harvested is during Chol HaMoed and no other time. But if it was ready before and you specifically put off the Chol HaMoed, the Beis Din is going to put up signs saying, you know, everybody who wants grapes, you know, come to this vineyard and help yourselves. Enjoy. So that's a deterrent that you shouldn't violate this prohibition of performing labor on specifically on Chol HaMoed. Yeah, ve'im meis oso shekivein osa b'moed. So what happens? The vineyard owner is the owner of a very expensive vineyard. He's planning to sell all his grapes to the most prestigious wineries for a very high price. So all of a sudden he's walking through town and he sees signs saying, you know, come to so-and-so's vineyard and help yourself to the grapes. And he, on the spot, he drops dead of a heart attack. His vineyard is going to go to whoever comes and raids it and loots it. So, fine. So then, obviously, it doesn't have to be that dramatic. Okay, this is just Tom. If the Beis Din is, let's say, whatever malacha he does a Chol HaMoed and then he dies. So, Ein Konsin Beno Achrav. So now his heirs have inherited this vineyard, and so the Beis Din has to go take down the signs, because why should they be penalized? In other words, let's say they're, you know, super religious and learning in Kollel, and they have long payas. Their father wasn't so religious, so he didn't observe Chol HaMoed properly. So the sons now inherited this vineyard, which was improperly harvested or set to be harvested on Chol HaMoed. I guess harvested, not set to be harvested. It was harvested on Chol HaMoed. And so they are now the heirs. So, and the people didn't come loot yet. So then you don't punish them. You don't penalize them because they did nothing wrong. Tovad. So the same thing. So even more than that, they've now inherited a type of labor that was set to be done on Chol HaMoed improperly. But now they're allowed to perform the labor, because they've just fallen into a position where if they don't do it on Chol HaMoed, then it's going to get ruined. Oh. So therefore, vis-a-vis them, it's allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed, but vis-a-vis the father, it was not allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed.
How does the Beis Din know what your motivation was?
Thank you.
Well, they could look. I mean, I keep using the vineyard example. It could be anything. They know that that it was ready to be done before, and you specifically put it off. Maybe you went telling all your friends. Yeah.
This is, not to be the Apocorus in the place, but it seems to me that a fine would be one thing. Potentially ruining the guy is a whole other thing. Isn't that kind of overkill? The whole town's going to come and raid his vineyard and he's left with nothing. Is that right?
Was it right that he put it off to do on Chol HaMoed?
It sounds like the fine is the same price as what he was planning on gaining from this.
Yeah, so the idea is he wouldn't have. Yeah.
This is a guy who's not participating with Beis Din. So the Beis Din says, but you are in you're part of our jurisdiction, and the halach is what you're doing is also. So we can give you a big fine you're not going to pay, or we can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. They're not uprooting the bond.
Destroy the plants.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
destroy
would be
the plants.
No, of course not.
But are they allowed to take the entire vineyard?
They're allowed to take the
whatever he harvested improperly.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
If he says
harvested,
I'm going to harvest improperly, that's why some of my lashonas before were not necessarily exactly accurate. But the point is that if he actually did it, he harvested his grapes. So then you take the grapes.
Then they're gone. I mean, they're not there for.
But then you take
else.
The grapes. You go into the warehouse where he keeps. I mean, whatever the truck where he keeps the grapes on the way to the vineyard. Fine. So if the son inherits these grapes though. And there's still more to be done in the vineyard, so he's allowed to do it because he didn't do anything wrong.
The grapes are going to go bad.
What?
The grapes are going to go bad. If you say you can't touch them, they're going to know you're rot.
Right. But
so we don't
the Koreani al benze, yachin v'tzadik yilbash. So that the evil person is going to prepare something, and then he's not going to have any benefit from it, and the righteous person is going to wear it. So, meaning. Mm-hmm. Meaning, in this case, not wear, but enjoy and benefit from. So there's also a thing on Chol HaMoed that if you need money desperately, so let's say you are a day laborer, and if you don't perform your labor, then you're going to go hungry. Mm-hmm. So then you're allowed to do that work on Chol HaMoed, even if it's something that would not ordinarily be permissible. Again, there's some exceptions, but that's the general principle. So the same thing too. So if you have a vineyard, again, I like the vineyard example. So if you have the vineyard and it's not, okay, like, you could harvest it now, but you could wait till after Yantiv also without any problems. So you're not really supposed to harvest it. But there is a day laborer who harvests vineyards. And he says, you know, sir, I don't have any money to pay for my Yantiv needs. But unless I harvest your vineyards, then you're allowed to hire him to harvest your vineyard.
I mean, you don't have to dip into your tzedakah account. You could just
maybe you don't have. Maybe you have all your food for Yantiv, but maybe you don't have extra cash lying around.
No, I'm saying I'm not talking about the bias. I don't have to say like I have to give him tzedakah. No, I can hire him. Like,
in Echanami, yeah.
I'm actually allowed to hire you.
Yeah, in Echanami, yeah.
I'll save it for them.
He probably feels better about being hired anyway.
Yeah. Uferush ain't lo my yochal if yadomu mash ain't lo mos but my yiknetz rachav af yishlo bayis ukli tashmish shein mechayvin lo laadam limkor kelav. So you go to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, look, I don't have money for my yontif needs, so can I hire myself as a laborer on Chol HaMoed? So the rabbi says, so the rabbi doesn't have to say, the rabbi could have said, well, you know, you have, I believe, you know, when you were in a bit of better financial situation, so you revamped your kitchen and you installed the fancy countertops and you bought a whole new set of really expensive pots. So sell those, get cheaper pots, and you'll have what to buy for Chol HaMoed. So you don't have to go that far. You don't have to sell stuff. You don't have to pawn, you know, things you own in order to avoid working on Chol HaMoed. If you're in a desperate financially, then you're allowed to work on Chol HaMoed. V'yeser pratei chiluke melechos hamoed rabu ad meod. V'chulan yizbaru yafe maseches moed katan. So they're all explained in maseches moed katan, and there are many, many details about exactly what you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed and what you're not allowed to do. So it's important that everybody has to learn that because, like I said, so people on Chol HaMoed are sort of like, well, okay, we're supposed to, you know, relax a little bit, but you know, there aren't like really set halachos, right? You know, it's
there's no
mistake
that talks about it, right?
Exactly. It doesn't say in the Gemara. It's just like, you know, Minhagim and all these things. So it's not true. There are specific halachos for Chol HaMoed, and everybody has to learn as much as possible. It's important because even, you know, with in some ways, the laws of Chol HaMoed, even with public shiurim, get sort of lost because, you know, before each holiday, we're talking about the specific laws of each holiday. So Before Pesach, we're talking about how to kosher your house and what to do for the Seder. So I might, you know, as a rabbi, I might tell you some, you know, new twist that you didn't know already. But basically, most Jewish people who have
been around for a while,
right, they know how to make a Seder. They know how to kosher the house for Pesach. They know how to eat matzah. You know, it's not something that you have to review, of course. There are things that people don't know, but people get the basic idea. But for Chol HaMoed, people are not at the level of getting the basic idea for the most part. The laws of Chol HaMoed are like the laws of the rabbinical restrictions of Shabbos. You shouldn't just learn some of the malachos of Chol HaMoed. You get the basic idea, like I just told you, that davar ha'aved is mutter, and if you don't have what to eat, it's mutter, and all these things. Sometimes you don't understand. Like, sometimes Chazal will permit you, when they see there's a real need for it, apparently, to do something really difficult on Chol HaMoed, and sometimes they'll say, you know, even though it's easy, absolutely not, you're not allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. So you can't just get this idea that if it's really hard, I'm not allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed, and if it's easier, I'm allowed to do it, because there are exceptions, a lot of exceptions. So you shouldn't be so surprised at this. So on a Daraisa level, you don't really have these things. Normally on a Daraisa, you have clear principles, normally. But here, even though it's a deraisa, it depends on whatever the rabbis feel like, basically, and whatever they feel is appropriate to that for Chol HaMoed and the environment that they want to create on Chol HaMoed of happiness and focus on spirituality. So the same thing. V'chein binyan shvusei Shabbos v'yantiv nimtza b'gemara mekomo shemidu divrem zichran v'racha afilu b'makom Torah. So when it comes to the rabbinical restrictions of Shabbos, which are called shvusim, So sometimes you'd think they would be, sometimes they're really mekel, when you're allowed to engage in a shvus du'a d'rabbanan, and sometimes they're really machmir, like, you know, that if there's a shofar on a tree, so you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos, right? So there's a shofar in a tree, you're not allowed to climb the tree to get the
Why
shofar.
Are you allowed to climb a tree?
It's a gzera because of that you could pluck something from the ground.
From the tree, yeah.
So if you cut something off the tree, so that's an Isser Daraisa of Kotzer. So if you use the tree too much, you might get too comfy with the tree, and you might chop something off, rip something off. So if there's a shofar in a tree, so you're not allowed to climb the tree to get the shofar on Shabbos, even though that means you're going to neglect to to perform a biblical commandment. But nevertheless, the Chazal said,
I meant
Rosh Hashanah. So Yantiv of Rosh Hashanah. So, yeah. Sometimes they're very machmer on Derabbanan, that even when the issue would be if you violate Derabbanan, you'd get to perform a biblical commandment, nevertheless, they don't do it. So for a slightly ill person, you're allowed to do, in many cases, not slightly, but not piguach nefesh, but an ill person, you're allowed to do derabbanans. Sometimes you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do things, but letzorech mitzvah. They're not allowed to. Why are you allowed to ask a non-Jew to do same things? Sometimes letzorech mitzvah, you're not allowed to climb a tree. Okay, sometimes for asking non-Jews, so you need shvus to shvus, you need to ask them to do you need a double rabbinical prohibition, you ask them to do something, it's only prohibited me the rabbanan. Below dava reik b'chol diram. The Chachamim knew what they were doing, and even
write,
if it... What?
Are you allowed to write in Chalamot?
Sometimes. Last time we pointed out that the Sefer HaChinuch and his Rebbe seem to be really machmer on this, that you're not allowed, his Rebbe didn't want to allow him to write in Chalamot at all, but in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted psak is that there are situations where you are allowed to write in Chalamot. That even in a basic script, not in any fancy letters, but if something's needed for Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to write in a basic script. But based on this attitude that came from other places also, but this from the Rebbe of the Sefer Chinuch, who may have been the Rashba, that there's this attitude in Klal Yisrael that we try to avoid writing on Chol HaMoed as much as possible, even though strictly speaking, according to the accepted halacha, there are many situations where it would be permissible. Okay. That's where we get into our discussion about Tefillin HaChol HaMoed, because the Gemara says, the Mishnah says you're allowed to write Tefillin HaChol HaMoed. Okay, fine. V'zachor b'ni klal zeh, she'hilchos moed k'hilchos shavusei Shabbos. She'in donin b'am davar mi davar. Don't compare them to each other. Whatever Chazal said explicitly, you do, and whatever Chazal didn't say explicitly, you don't do. So again, you have to somehow update them. You know, great Rabbanim, you know, got the principles down as much as possible, and they issue halachic rulings based on what they feel is the general attitude that they're getting from their vast knowledge of the sources of Hilchos Chol HaMoed to contemporary situations, but it's not an easy thing to do by any means.
A wider range of disagreement about Hilchos Chol HaMoed than there is.
I mean, Lemaisa Hilchos Chol HaMoed is shorter than Hilchos Shabbos. There are fewer halachos Lemaisa, so they're not as discussed. What?
There's less at stake because everything might be Derabbanan.
Right. So there's less at stake. That's true. So then, Rabbanim are more inclined to be mekel. That's true.
And inclined to fight less.
I don't know. There are significant disagreements in the Hilchos Chol HaMoed. There's just less to fight about. Like if you compare, you know, Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, a comparison Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, you're going to get three or four fat volumes. And a Sefer on Hilchos Chol HaMoed, you could basically contain in one smallish volume.
I mean, there are more different kinds of malacha, you know,
that's
to worry
true too.
About, because
right.
A whole range of things.
Right, like right, right. The halachos of Shabbos are much more complex, obviously, but like I was pointing out last time about the computers. So there are posts going on different opinions about using computers on Chol HaMoed. Some say that it's considered a malachas uman, because it's, or printing out, because it's it creates beautiful images. And some say it's malachas hedyot, because everybody knows how to do it. So there's a major fundamental disagreement. So there are disagreements.
What about taking pictures? If everybody does that on, you know, you see everybody up
If it's a digital camera, so then it's noch besser, because it's a digital camera and you're not printing it out till after the Chol HaMoed, so that seems to be for sure malachas hedyot.
Right.
Doesn't create
any
lasting
image
thing,
either,
and it doesn't,
right.
And it's everybody knows
camera,
how to do it.
To use a, what's that word?
Well, like film camera is also latent anyway.
It's latent. The image is latent if you don't get it developed until after Yontif.
Yeah. All right. Right. Okay. Don't err in this because very great rabbis have said this. But that's the Rambam, Zichron Avraham, the Rambam disagrees with everything I just told you. Not all the details of the halachas, but the whole principle that I just mentioned to you. Shekol Yisr Malacha B'chol HaShemot Eino Ela Midivrei Sofrim. That it's all the Rabbanan. The Amida Raisa, there are zero restrictions on Chol HaMoed. But the way the Rambam describes it is that the Chazal said, look, it's a holy day. There's a special korban. There's special mitzvahs on the days of Chol HaMoed. So it's just not right, you know, that you should be going about your labor like mamish an ordinary day. We want to give them some kedusha. So the whole thing is derabanan. So that's one shita. Many many rishonim agree with this shita that it's only derabanan. They say perhaps the mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch even paskins like that. It's a little bit slightly unclear. But so he holds it all derabanan, whereas the Sefer Chinuch holds that it's d'oraisa and mesar nakasuv lachachomim, that the Chazal get to decide. And there's also the intermediate shita, a different shita is that anything that's necessary, that's not necessary for Chol HaMoed is asur absolutely midoraisa, and anything that is necessary for Chol HaMoed is mesar nakasuv lachachomim. But that's just sort of a branch of the shita and rishonim that meleches Chol HaMoed is d'oraisa. V'chol osan aksuvim shamarnu lemala shehem bereish maseches mashkin, that the beginning of maseches moed katan yirtzarav lomar, and maseches chagig also yirtzarav lomar das machta ba'almaninu, that they're only pegs for rabbinical prohibitions. They're not drusha gemura midaraisa. Again, some of them don't seem to be like, you know, the simple meanings of the verse, obviously, but not the drushas really are. But there are many things that we hold are drushas. Absolute drushes on a deraisa level that wouldn't be what we would think, you know, necessarily would be a simple understanding of the verse. So it's possible that it's deraisa, but the Rambam understands it on the simpler level, which is that these are all derabanan.
Mashkin is the first word of
Sechas Mokaz. Mashkin
Veisa
Shlachin
Mamoed
Veshvias. But I thought it was Chagiga. Yirtzarav Lomar, the Ramban Zichron Elvracha, the Ramban frequently disagrees with the Rambam. Of a rabbim imo amru sheikar iser malacha bo min haTorah kimo shekasadu that prati amalachos dechilukin nimseru lachachamim zichronim levracha, that the details of the malachis are given to the rabbis, even though the basic fundamental principle that you're not allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed is deraisa. Okay, so there's no clear psak on this. Again, a majority shita does seem to be that it's derabanan, but we try as much as possible to be concern for the kedusha of Chol HaMoed, and again, especially says Rabbi Karp, that if you according to one understanding, unless you go with the understanding that I mentioned last time of the Geonim, that the reason that you might not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed is because of the matzah on Pesach is considered to be a sign that would conflict with the os of tefillin, and the same thing sitting on the sukkah on sukkah is considered a sign that would conflict with the sign of tefillin. So if you don't go with that mahalach, so it seems to be that there's a breakdown of if you hold that Chol HaMoed, that malacha on Chol HaMoed is only the Rabbanan, so of course you would have to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and if you hold that malacha on Chol HaMoed on Chol HaMoed is the Raisa, then you would not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So if you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, so then you have to be extra careful that you treat it, Chalmelchas Chol HaMoed is deraisa. You have to be extra careful not to go to work unless you absolutely really need to, and to make sure to treat the holiday with proper attention. Baal Tshuva once told me that when he was becoming frum, so he asked the rabbi if he should wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not. So the rabbi said, well, do you go to work? Do you go to work on Chol HaMoed? So he says, yeah, I go to work on Chol HaMoed. So he says, oh, so it sees that you treat it like a weekday, so therefore you should wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So I don't, look, Lemaisa, I probably might have told him to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed also, but I don't think that reasoning is correct. It has nothing to do with the way you personally treat the day. It has to do with what's the halachic status of the day. You know what I mean? So there's the famous sad but touching story that our president is, official president, not country president, likes very much is that somebody in Boston once asked the Rav, an old Jew from Europe who was still very erlich and very religiously connected, but wasn't, because of the terrible nisyonos of living in America at the time, was not as observant as he would have liked to be. So he said to the, he asked Rav Soloveitchik, if I go to work on Shabbos, should I put on tefillin on Shabbos? You know, it's a cute question, but the answer, of course, is no. It has nothing to do with what you personally work on Shabbos. It has nothing. It doesn't take away the actual halachic status of Shabbos. So, of course, it's a davar pashut ad meod that, of course, you would not put on tefillin on Shabbos, even if you were going to work. So the same thing with Chol HaMoed. It goes. You should we paskin whether you should put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed based on factors such as ancestral minog, such as where you're holding religiously now, what community you live in, where you live. The requirement of tefillin achol hamoed or not tefillin achol hamoed has nothing to do with how you personally treat the day of chol hamoed. There's also
in the opposite direction. If you do wear
Wear tefillin achol hamoed, so
have to be a little more careful in how you.
I mean, the guy really conflict between two osios. I mean, why would it be a conflict?
Why just because, okay.
I mean, the way that Zohar.
Matzah, by the way, it's only Chiv of Matzah, of course, on the Seder night. So, you know,
yeah, but the Isser of Chometz, fine. The Isser of Prohibition of Chometz.
Isser of Chometz is an os?
That's what the Yonim say.
Okay.
Now, I mean, a lot of Rishonim don't really go like that. The Rishonim are really going with if the melachas chol hamoed is derabanan, so then you have to put on tefillin. Melachas chol hamoed is deraisa, then you have to put on tefillin. It has to do with the melacha; it doesn't have to do with the other halachas of the day. There are other things on chol hamoed which Sefer Chinuch doesn't mention at all, which are more visible and people seem to concern themselves with a lot more than the prohibition of melachas, which are the famous gezeiros derabanan that one is not allowed to cut one's hair on chol hamoed, and one is not allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. And these are not Isurei Melacha. They're not prohibited because they're considered to be forbidden labor on Chol HaMoed. The reason they're prohibited is because Chazal were concerned that if you're allowed to do these things on Chol HaMoed, then you wouldn't be careful enough about grooming and yourself properly before Yontif began, and that you wouldn't be careful about getting all your laundry done before Yontif, and you'd just leave it to Chol HaMoed.
Six kids, maybe.
And you'd be like, you know, it's sort of like this idea of I'm free on Chol HaMoed, so that's when I'm going to do all my work. So I have all this laundry piled up, and, you know, I'll save a couple shirts for Yontif, and then, yes, you know, then I can, you know, do all my laundry on Chol HaMoed. So the Chazal didn't want that. They wanted you to do all your laundry before, so you wouldn't be doing laundry on Chol HaMoed. So therefore, you're not allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed.
If you don't have a lot of money and a lot of changes of clothes, and you have 6 or 8 or 9 children, you may very well find yourself really feeling a need to do laundry.
Look, so because it's not an Isser Malacha, so there are heterim. Yeah. There are heterim to do laundry on Chol HaMoed in situations where it would really not be reasonable or possible that you could prepare all your laundry before Chol HaMoed.
Yeah. So, I mean, clothes, a single person with plenty of clothes, that's all different laundry.
So you're allowed to do laundry for little children on Chol HaMoed without restriction. I mean, maybe you have 10 children who are teenagers. Okay. Maybe their age is 13 through 25 and they're still all living at home. Okay.
They should be helping out with the laundry.
Right. So then you're not allowed to do their laundry on Chol HaMoed, obviously.
They should do their own thing.
But little children, you're allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. It says, in Halacha, it says officially that you're allowed to wash towels on Chol HaMoed.
Underwear, right? I mean, things like that.
So, Meikur Hadin, it seems that would be permissible to wash underwear on Chol HaMoed because they're very easy to wash. You know, they don't need to be specially treated and folded nicely. You know, but the minag is that, if at all possible, to be machmer and not to wash underwear or socks or things like that on Chol HaMoed, if you can get away with it. If you really don't have enough, so then the, especially in such a situation, so you could, now that we have washing machines, so if you're doing a load of children's clothes, so if you really don't have enough adult underwear, so you would be allowed to throw in some adult underwear, which would not be the case for regular clothes. Mm-hmm. Even if you're already doing a load of children's clothes, then you would not be allowed to throw in adult outer garments.
Well, when Gilad Shalit was released, it was on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, And yeah. Soon to be daughter-in-law said, "Oh, well, Vada, he's got a head there to have a haircut."
Right. So there, that's the beginning of the third parak of Maseches Ma'akot, and it's called the Elu Megalchin. And that's also the chapter that's famous for talking about Avelos, that you're allowed to learn it on Tisha B'Av. Where it says you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av whatever, X, Y, and Z, and Perek Ve'ilu Megalchen. So the reason it starts Ve'ilu Megalchen is it says that there are certain people who are allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, one of whom is somebody who was in captivity and is released on Chol HaMoed. So the whole reason you're not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed is because Chazal wanted you to cut your hair or shave whatever before Yantifs, but you couldn't. You know, it wasn't possible. So therefore, you're allowed to cut your hair, shave whatever on the Chol HaMoed. Mm-hmm. So there's a famous shita of Rav Soloveitchik, who says that there nowadays, since many people shave every day, so you're allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed because the hairs that were growing now didn't exist
Before
Yantif, so you didn't have the possibility to shave them, so you're just gonna look unkempt. So there's no reason that you should. It was impossible for you to shave these hairs before Chol HaMoed. You couldn't groom your hairs before Chol HaMoed, so it's not proper on Chol HaMoed on Yantif for the second days of Yantif, especially to look unkempt. Mm-hmm. So he held that you are allowed and you should shave on Chol HaMoed if you shave every day. So that's not it's not an accepted shita, that we assume that the gzeira of Chazal, that you're not allowed to shave or cut your hair in any way in Chol HaMoed, is an absolute gzeira, and it doesn't have to do with your individual hairs. It has to do with your situation before Yantif and the general practice. Although there are some shtarka talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik that go like this.
Certainly in these neighborhoods.
Yeah. Who go like this, but the normative psak is like what it says in Chazal, which is that you're not allowed to shave or cut your hair on Chol HaMoed. But there are heterim for that too. It says that like if a woman needs to go to the mikvah, so she's allowed to cut hair as it normally cuts before going to the mikvah. You know, it's tzorich mitzvah. So also if she can't, for she finds that her hair is getting too long, so it's sticking out of her tichel and she can't cover it properly. So then she's allowed to cut it also, that she should be able to fit it under her hair covering.
You have a chasana on Chol HaMoed?
No, you're not allowed to have a chasana on Chol HaMoed because of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha.
Ah, okay.
That you can't have two joyous occasions. I mean, sometimes you can. Okay, you can have a bris, you can have a pidyon haben on Chol HaMoed, fine, but you can't have a wedding is over the top. That's really, really, really joyous. So you're not allowed to have a wedding on Chol HaMoed.
You can put it off. You can't do that in like a bris or
Correct.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so cutting hair, you're not allowed, fine. And so laundry is also interesting because there's a fundamental difference between laundry the way we do it nowadays and the way it used to be done, which is that laundry nowadays is done in machines, which is very easy. So if you did... What? It depends. If you have laundry in your house or apartment, so it's not as big a tircha, but you know it's much, much less of a tircha than it used to be. You had to schlep the clothes to the river, and you had to schlep along your detergent and your stick, and you beat the clothes, and then you wash them, and you wash them in the river, then you hang them up to dry. Used to be a very involved event that we're doing laundry, so it's very understandable why Chazal didn't want us to do this on Yantif, on Chol HaMoed, I mean, but. You know, nowadays, in some ways, again, obviously the din stays the same because there is a gzera, but just some ways when you think about it, so it creates more stress. Like before Yantif, like we also change our clothes much more frequently. We have a lot more clothes in our possession, so it's like you don't have to worry. Oh, do I have enough shirts for all the entire Yantif? Sometimes it could be if you have like last year, like you had three sets of 2 day yamim tovim. So that means you have six. I mean, two sets of 3 day yamim tovim that you have to have enough clothing prepared before Yantif. For 6 Yantif Shabbos days in advance, so it's
plus
like
the Chol HaMoed.
No, I personally would be much more relaxed if I could just throw in a load of Shabbos shirts on Chol HaMoed, but nevertheless, we're not allowed to do that because of this gzeira that Chazal wanted to make sure that you had everything done before Chol HaMoed. So, okay, so that's. That's the story. So
By the way, it's simple. They used to have chasanas on Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, because they, you know, basically to, you know, for like a big meal, you know, you may as well put that two in one, isn't
they
that?
Couldn't afford it, and that may as well, yeah.
Right.
No, Shabbos, there's no chi of simcha on Shabbos, per se.
So you couldn't have it then, so Erev Yontif you couldn't
Look, you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos and Yontif because of the gzera that sometimes it involves writing.
Yeah, okay, right.
And it's like
but
a business transaction.
Friday afternoon.
Yeah, that's what they used to do. They used to get married
so
Friday.
So in other words, so the Suda would then go on into Shabbos, presumably, right?
Right, because that's not a problem.
Okay.
Because the Shabbos, there's no issue of Marvin Simcha B'Simcha because there's a chi of simcha on Yontif and a chi of simcha on Shabbos.
We can't eat Erev Shabbos, though, I thought.
What?
Well, you're not allowed to eat Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to have a large festive meal on Erev Shabbos.
Yeah.
When it's Betzorech Mitzvah, so before Chatzos, it's okay.
Okay.
I thought the meals at night.
What they used to do, right. What you're talking about, we're talking about different things.
Okay.
One thing is that you could have, I think they started this in Israel, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that wedding halls started giving major discounts if you have your wedding on Friday morning. So they started giving discounts if you have your wedding. That's a very unpopular time.
Mm-hmm.
So they started giving if you have your wedding Friday morning. So that's mutar. So that's it's a big suda, but it's a tzorech mitzvah, and it's before chatzos. That's why lechatchila when Purim falls on Friday, you're supposed to have the Purim suda before chatzos. But your other option, you have two options. You can have it really early or really late. So the same thing
so
too. So what
basically means this is your this is your Shabbos suda. Which also happens to... You know,
right, so that's what people do. People on the Purim Suda, so you have a problem because you have to start the Suda when it's actually Purim. The wedding Suda, they don't have to start on the same day as the wedding, per se.
Uh-huh.
So on Purim, so you can do what's called Poris Mapo Mekadesh, which is that you start the Suda in the afternoon, and then you, when Shabbos comes, you cover the food on the table, mm-hmm. and you make Kiddush, and then you continue your meal.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can turn it into a combined Shabbos and Purim. And the Gemara talks about doing this all the time. So for us, we're like, what? A meal late in the afternoon on Friday? Crazy. You know, you have to go to shul and you have to sing Yedid Nefesh and Kabbalah Shabbos and all these things. Otherwise, you can't have your Shabbos meal. But in the Gemara, Keseder, in the beginning of the last parak of Maseches Pesachim, talks about it all the time that they says, oh, there were this sort of rabbis who were sitting in a meal on Friday afternoon, and oh, they looked outside. Oh, it's Shabbos now, so we have to make Kiddush.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently,
they
daven afterwards. Apparently, you're allowed. That's mutter because even though you're not allowed to start a suda before davening, when the proper time for davening comes, so you are allowed if you've already started the suda at a time that was permissible. So you're allowed to continue the suda without without davening.
Without davening.
Yeah. So they used to daven afterwards. You said daven.
The davening
mark. Yeah.
Just so late, late Shabbos davening. I thought that was much frowned upon. And,
unless you do this, if you do Paris Mapa Makadish, so then you could do late Friday night davening. But if you're in work until late, and then you come to your late Friday night services, so that's a little bit of a problem. So people do that on Purim. That when comes on Friday, so even if you, in other words. You want to get at least daven mincha early, so you know, because if you have your Purim suda in the morning, so you're gonna perhaps extend it until in the afternoon, and you have to daven mincha and then Marav Kabbalah Shabbos right away when Shabbos comes, and you'll still be too intoxicated to do so in a permissible way. So if people who are concerned that might be the case, so Paras Mapa Mekadesh is a good solution. You daven mincha first on Friday early, then you have the Suda, then you know, you have many hours to sober up until Chatzos, I guess. You have to daven mincha, you have to daven Marav before Chatzos on Friday night. But that's depends on your constitution. For most people, I would probably recommend the morning Suda. But anyway, for a wedding, so that's different, because the wedding, you just have the ceremony in the afternoon, and then you have normal Kabbalah Shabbos, and you have your Shabbos Suda, you combine it with a wedding Suda, so you don't need to pull that shtick of Pores Mapa Umekadish.